This is the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this month's podcast. I have some really exciting things in my heart to share with you today. Before I get into the content, I want to remind you of the upcoming Encounter Conference from June 19th through 21st. That's a Wednesday night, all day Thursday night, all day Friday night. A three-day conference here at Victory for junior, senior high students. And it's going to be an amazing time. God dealt with me to fill this room with the next generation from the region. And the link is encounterconference.info. And it's in the show notes, and you can find it. The typical cost for us per student has been $220. And the church supplemented it at that. When God dealt with me to do it, I knew I needed to make an investment into the generations to come. And so we've lowered the cost to $29 per student. It's going to be well over $250,000 investment for Victory to do this conference and invest in the students in our region. So I would just ask you to help me to get the word out. I'm not looking for funding. I'm looking for kids that we can serve and lift, and they can have an encounter with God. All the details are on the link, and I hope to see your students there, and please help me get the word out. That would mean a whole lot to me. Hey, I want to get into a subject that God really put upon my heart way back before 2020. He began to speak to me about a new season coming in the body of Christ. Now, that's never been something that God's dealt with me about. Anything that God's ever spoken to my heart about has been for my church and my ministry and the call on my life. But it began to emerge in me that God was speaking to my heart about something more broadly that would appeal and apply to the church at large. And he began to speak to me about a new wine that he would bring out of my life. My question, of course, like would new wine would be, what's the wineskin? A couple years go by and bringing me into 2020. and I have no clarity about the wineskin. To make a really long story short, God dealt with my heart that the new wineskin won't be built by you or your generation, so don't ask me about it. And he dealt with me about helping the next generation to be prepared to build it and to hear his voice. So I began to do that in earnest. And what it required of me was to stop presuming leadership for the future. And so that new wineskin was also meaning that something was dying, or there was an old wineskin. Right at the beginning of 2020, God made it clear to me, though, that what we call the attractional model of church was God's breath upon it was waning. By attractional, I mean the service was designed for an outsider to be very, very comfortable so that you could minister the gospel to them, because that didn't exist largely in the church world as my generation began to emerge. Church was really built for Christians alone. Well, God began to deal with my heart that it's not that those principles aren't still relevant, but he was going to be building a wineskin in the next generation that would be relational rather than attractional. And so I began to make immediate adjustments, at least what I felt was appropriate for us. But then what truly emerged in my heart was a season now across the body of Christ in a very, very difficult and darkening time in our nation, that God wants to bring multiplication to the church, not addition, multiplication. Now, how does God do that? It isn't just like out of heaven, God's going to just do this miraculous thing where you go to church one weekend and a ton of people got saved and they're connected to a church and they're getting discipled. There's a process that I've begun to see that's emerging, that's always been in Scripture, but that God is so deeply breathing upon right now. And I want to talk to you about that. So the title of this short little message I want to give you today about multiplication now, in fact, that's what, seriously, since October of last year, I've been praying about over and over again as it's just risen up in my heart. God's saying in my heart, multiplication now, multiplication now. What does that mean to you as a leader? What does that mean to you if you pastor a church? What does that mean to you if you lead anything? So the title is simply this: In Search of Apollos. In Search of Apollos. Now, the question I'm going to ask you is who is your Apollos? Now, if you know the scripture, and I'm going to read it to you in case you don't, in Acts 18, the Bible speaks of a man named Apollos. Listen to this. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and with great accuracy and passion, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. Now, let me stop here and pause. This man, Apollos, had been connected to the ministry of John the Baptist. He had been baptized by John. Of course, John was pointing to the Messiah, but obviously he was not in the area, not in the region. And when all of the things happened with Jesus, he wasn't there. Obviously, he didn't know evidently that this had even occurred or taken place. And so Apollos is still now going into the Old Testament and sharing about the coming Christ. Now, let's go on. In verse 26, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So here we have this man Apollos, who was connected to the ministry of John the Baptist, who was pointing people toward a Messiah, who's standing in the synagogue, breaking out the Old Testament with tremendous accuracy, obviously a great ability to speak. And he's sharing that Messiah is coming. And he's, in a sense, parroting the ministry of John. Now you say, well, how could he not have known? Now remember, there wasn't the internet, there was no news. If you weren't there, you didn't see it. And if you weren't in the circle of where it was being published, you weren't going to know about it. But I want you to notice that there was a husband and wife who the Bible later speaks to the fact that they had a church in their home named Aquila and Priscilla. And when they heard him speak, they did something. I want to talk to you about, in search of Apollos, who is your Apollos? What Aquila and Priscilla didn't do was wait for Apollos to find them. They didn't go home and say, hey, that guy, let's pray for him and have a two-day prayer meeting. They did something about it. I'm talking to you about a key of multiplication that if you can invest it, particularly in the church world, and I'm speaking primarily to those who are desiring to build the local church. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They went to him and invited Apollos into their life. And then they did something that I think is so unusual today. When most people interject into someone's life who only has a portion of knowledge or maybe what you might perceive to be incorrect knowledge, it's divisive. It's angry. I'm going to correct you. But it didn't say that. It said they took him aside and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. They nurtured him. They took him as they found him. They invited him into their life. They discovered him, brought him into their life, and began to nurture him and began to explain things to him more accurately. But ultimately, they released him into his calling, into the work God had put for him to do in his life. Verse 27, Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him to go. They wrote to the believers in Achaia, asking them to welcome him. I want you to notice, they're moving relationally for this man Apollos. They're endeavoring to create a landing place for him where he's going to have relationships. When he arrived there, he proved to be of great benefit to those who by God's grace had believed. He refuted the Jews with powerful arguments in public debate. Using the scriptures, he explained to them that Jesus was the Messiah. I'm talking to you about multiplication. Aquila and Priscilla made a decision to invite someone into their life, an Apollos, someone who we would say knows of God or even knows God, but their understanding isn't complete. Their understanding is somewhat darkened, and they invited them into their life. Now, in our world today, we would call that a small group. Small groups are not a church program. It's simply a mechanism for the Aquilas and the Priscillas to invite the Apolloses, and you could say the Apollosettes, into their life for this reason, to explain to them the way of God more perfectly and build it on relationship. And as a result, they launched the ministry of Apollos. Now, if you look through scripture and just look up his name, you'll find that he became very prominent in the early church. Now, I wonder what would have happened had Aquila and Priscilla not acted upon the responsibility that every believer has is to invite someone into your life. If multiplication is going to happen, it will not happen by shepherds giving birth to sheep. That's really unnatural. It's sheep giving birth to sheep, sheep nurturing and discipling sheep. He said, well, that's always been the case. But I'm saying to you, as the emphasis that I sense in my heart emerging, is that every believer, God is wanting to literally drop in them the necessity, the divine calling in their life to go find their Apollos. Maybe it's a handful of people, maybe it's two people. But God will connect them to that person and bring them to a place that he's called them to be. Now listen, they literally launched this man's ministry. And in fact, he became so prominent that in Corinth, where Paul had planted the church, people were so enamored with Apollos, they identified with him. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And of course, Paul rebuked them for both of those thoughts. But he was so prominent that, and he didn't even plant the church, that this giftedness, this calling in his life. In one place in scripture, Paul said, I've asked Apollos to come to you. And basically he said, no, but he'll come at a more advantageous time for him. Now, I have to be honest with you. If Paul asked me to go somewhere, I'd be really hard pressed to say no. What's that tell you? It tells you that this man Apollos had a prominence and a place of authority in the early church and a great place of productivity. Paul spoke of his inability to publicly communicate. He talked at times that he didn't feel that he was the best at it. But this Apollos, I think he was a great orator, and God used him greatly. But here's the key I want you to see. If you're going to have multiplication in your life, as a pastor, if you're going to have multiplication in your church, you've got to look at every human being in your church and help them to understand they are an Aquila or a Priscilla, and they are called of God to invite, not wait for, not pray that somehow they'll meet each other in a Walmart, but to have their heart open and be able to invite the Apolloses into their life and to show them the way of God more accurately. You have to be willing to take people into places they'd never go without you. Years ago, I invited Henry Cloud, Dr. Henry Cloud, who was the author with John Townsend of the book Boundaries, and he's written many incredible books since. He came and he did a regional thing here, and we hosted it at Victory, and I invited him in to do it. At that afternoon, I was going to be able to spend pretty much the afternoon with Henry Cloud. I could have spent it with him alone. My other option was to invite prominent or leaders or pastors in the area to have that experience with Dr. Cloud. But what I knew what was the right thing to do in my heart was to invite the young men around me into that room that I had a relationship with and invite them into a room that they would never be able to get into on their own. Instead of using that time to have a great time just with my friends, or honestly, I could have talked to Dr. Cloud for at least 3-4 hours. And to be just brutally honest with you, I would have loved to have done that alone. But let me ask you the question. Who are you taking with you? Who are you taking with you into the rooms that they could never enter on their own? You see, God's method of multiplication is that you discover somebody. You don't pray about it. You don't seek it and hope it might happen. You act upon it. And then you nurture that person. And then like Apollos, you release them into their purpose. And if that happens with any continuum, it is the very definition of multiplication. When you do this, I want you to understand the amount of good and the amount of freedom and the amount of the goodness of God and the power of God that will be displayed. It won't be able to be measured. Marriages will be saved. People that would never be able to navigate in the darkness they find themselves in. You'll show them the way of Christ more accurately. And this isn't for a pastor to do. Yeah, of course it is on a personal basis. In fact, the whole last part of my ministry life is going to be about searching for Apollos, emergent pastors, and to serve them. And he said, well, that's your calling. It's everyone's calling. And so I'm asking you, who are you intentionally inviting in? Are you creating a dynamic around you in the ministry you lead or the ministries that you lead? And encouraging people, you have to find your Apollos. When you do this, you accelerate their purpose. You accelerate the freedom that they'll experience into their life. Perhaps you have entrepreneurs around you in your church. I'm sure you do. Who are the young entrepreneurs that if they were invited by the Aquilas and Priscillas in your church that were already successful entrepreneurs, and they invited these emerging entrepreneurs into their world, think of how they could accelerate them. Think of how they could accelerate them and not teach them just how to make gain, but how to be successful in what entrepreneurially is birthed in their heart, but not sacrificing the most precious things in their life. Most entrepreneurs look back with regret at what they missed on the most significant parts of their life, meaningful parts of their life, namely their family. You see, when you bring someone into your world, it isn't that you're telling them you know more. When you search for your Apollos in your life, you're truly motivated by the blood and the scars that you've endured, and you just desperately want them to miss it. And when people miss the potholes, when they miss there's enough tragedy, there's enough battles in life, there's an enemy against our soul that you can't avoid. But the ones you can avoid can save someone. It can save a family. It can save a marriage. It can accelerate someone 10 years ahead of where they would have been otherwise. As a pastor who has any age or experience to you, what other pastors are you inviting into your intimate space and showing them the way of God in our world more accurately? I'm not telling them what to do. I'm not giving them direction. I'm not talking to them about the wineskin they must build. What I'm doing is giving wisdom in the absence of telling them this is what you must do. That's between them and God. When you release an Apollo to their purpose, you multiply the kingdom of God. The taping of this podcast was done just right after Super Bowl Sunday, and John Kolb, who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, goes to victory here. And John was a part of the Steelers dynasty in the 70s, and was the strongest man in the NFL. He had an incredible career, 4 Super Bowl rings. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. Well, John was speaking at just doing a Q&A thing, at a kind of an interview thing at one of our men's breakfasts. And he had a really, really interesting analogy. He put one hand down by his side and the other one he lifted above his head. And he said, we're always, always, always should be looking for someone with one hand to be lifting, while with the other hand that's reaching above our head, finding a hand that can lift us. Always reaching somebody up, but always having somebody to help pull us up. So the second question is simply this. Who is your Aquila and Priscilla? Who are you reaching up toward intentionally that you're asking to be in their life? Now, I have to tell you, as a young minister, this culture didn't exist much in the church, at least in my background. And the Aquilas and Priscillas that I was able to reach out to was in book form or listening to their ministries on audio tape. But the personal opportunity to be invited into their life, it just didn't exist. In fact, in some cases, it was almost counterculture. It was almost like they had a secret and wouldn't tell you. It felt like. I'm not saying that was their desire or motive. I'm just telling you that's what it felt like. Who are you lifting? But as importantly, where is your hand connected to that can help you? Someone else that will show you the way of Christ more perfectly. Who is your Aquila and Priscilla? Who's taking you aside in explaining the way of God more precisely or perfectly? Who's accelerating you? Now, here's what I want you to see this image. One hand down, one hand up, firmly grasped with your Apollos below you and your Aquila and Priscilla above you. And you're joining your Apollos to your Aquila and Priscilla. You're accelerating who can speak into their life. It may be through you, but ultimately you can put them in rooms they will never experience without you. And I can tell you this, no matter how much, quote, success you experience in life or ministry, there is nothing to compare to God giving you the privilege of truly helping someone's life be lifted. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says this. Paul said, night and day we earnestly pray for you. But then he brings it more clearly to relationship, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. To fill the gaps in your faith. No matter how much you know God, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how much experience you have, there is always a place where someone can help me find the way of God more accurately. There's always a place for God to use somebody, listen to these words, please, relationally, to fill the gaps in my faith. Who is filling the gaps in your faith? Not a movement, a podcast, a person. Who has God brought into your world that can help you fill in the gaps in your faith? And then, of course, the question would be, who are you helping? And lastly, let me say this. Would you please consider to take action steps right now? This podcast is about to be over, but I hope it doesn't end in your life. Take action steps right now. Right now, stop and say, God, what are you saying to me? Who, not hypothetically, pick someone. Who is an Apollos that I can invite into my life? Now, in my case, that's typically other pastors, people on my team that I know I need to invest in. But who is your Apollos? Who are you reaching down to pull up intentionally? Listen, not asking them to find you, but you invite them into your life relationally. And then who are you reaching up to? Are you putting yourself in environments where you can have an Apollos and Aquila Priscilla moment with someone else? There's one thing I've learned as I've gotten older and as I've had the privilege of meeting some of the most prominent and remarkable people that I believe are in the body of Christ. They seem to have 100 times more desire to help people intimately than I did at any time in my life. And I realized the reason they became so prominent and helpful and beneficial is that they genuinely wanted to help people. Now, what I found of all of them, they had a circle of Apollos around them. Please hear these words. Put yourself in rooms where God can deal with the Aquilas and the Priscillas. And by the hand of God and the sovereignty of God, they will invite you into their world and it will accelerate you. Be intentional. Please don't put this off. Determine today, who am I going to reach out to and invite relationally into my life? Who's my Apollos? What room do I need to intentionally put myself in? What experience, what group of people that today are further ahead than I am that I need to intentionally put myself in that space and be open to God connecting me with people who can do two things: explain the way of God to me more accurately and fill the gaps in my faith. I'm praying for you as we enter a season in God's kingdom of multiplication. And I'm believing that he will direct your paths and order your steps. Look forward to catching up with you next month. God bless you.
Thanks again for tuning in to the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to rate, review, and share this podcast on iTunes. It's a great way to get the word out and to help others grow as leaders. We'll see you back here next time for another episode of the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.